I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Suf from Birmingham, and you're listening to Dane Baptiste Questions Everything. My question is, if you could go back in time just before lockdown and give yourself one piece of advice or a hobby to take up for lockdown, what would it be? Okay, here comes the show. And remember, question everything.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Dane Baptiste Question Everything, a podcast where myself, comedian, writer, and occasional actor, Dane Baptiste, my producer friend, Howard Cohen, a.k.a. The Hizzer.
Hello.
And a mix of very special guests pose the questions that need to be asked. And we are talking everything from...
We are talking everything from Suf, from Birmingham's question, what pre-lockdown advice would you give yourself... what hobby would you suggest taking up? Dane, anything that comes to mind?
A hobby I would have taken up is maybe effective crypto trading. That seems to be the thing everyone's doing now. Yeah. So I'd have learned how to sort of my crypto portfolio. And these NFTs as well, these non-fungible tokens that people are getting now as well. Apparently the Charlie Bit My Finger meme sold for $500,000 yesterday.
Right.
So I'd have familiarized myself with that stuff. And I was thinking I might have gotten like a hair transplant and just let it grow, because that's what you're supposed to do. Then I think, do I want a hair transplant? And also, I feel like the hair transplant technology is kind of like where vegan cheese is at the moment. It's not really where I want it to be, or I feel comfortable enough to be involved in that kind of thing. So I'm not sure. But I think maybe learn a lot of language or do some exercise. But
My
real pre-lockdown advice is just to kind of be able to take care of yourself either way and not be bored of your own company. And I managed to achieve that most of all, and fall out with relatively few people. So,
well, that's a pretty good result, really.
Yeah, well, I think I only threatened like two people over the course of a year, and that's good.
Yeah,
and one of those people was a bailiff, so that's always good.
Well, Suf from Birmingham, we hope that answers your question. And suffice to say, on this podcast, we ask and answer all the questions, don't we, Dane?
Absolutely. And if you like the show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts or follow us on Spotify, and you'll never miss an episode. Or subscribe to us on Acast, the world's biggest podcast network, where you can hear from all of our very special guests. With that being said, on today's show, our guest is a British comedian and actor. For his live comedy work, he won Leicester Comedian of the Year and Chortle Best Newcomer. He's gone on to perform in comedy on TV shows such as Live at the Apollo and Tonight at the Palladium. He is well known for his TV work on programs such as Argumental, Virtually Famous, Play to the Whistle, and Flinch. And he has a new live show, Back from the Bed, coming autumn 2021 and spring 2022. It's Sean Walsh.
Hey.
Thank you.
He also got a new haircut, and he's from Lewisham as well originally. I'm not sure how he feels about his South East London roots, but I'm exposing it on the podcast. Why, Sean? Why don't you love being from Lewisham?
Yes.
That's not my question.
No. To be honest, I just forget. And I think it comes with too much explaining.
Right.
Because I don't think I come across as if I come from Lewisham. So I just can't be, but I'm from Brighton, really. You know, right. I look like I'm from Brighton. That works.
That's what Lewisham's full of, people like that now. Things have changed, Sean. It's all gone round full circle.
I know they've changed.
So now you
can come back. I know, but yes, no, but I grew up there when it wasn't like that. So I just can't be, but you do the Lewisham thing. Isn't Rob Beckett from Lewisham as well?
He's moved out, isn't he? He's doing all right. he's from nearby. I think nearby Lewisham.
It's a very funny part of the world, Lewisham.
It really
producing lots of funny people. Yeah,
there's loads of funny people. There's me, yourself, Rob, Sarah Pascoe lived there for a bit.
Right.
As did Jimi Hendrix in Lewisham.
Was he funny?
Hilarious, Jimi Hendrix.
I imagine when he made jokes, people laughed along.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
yes,
you know,
definitely.
In his head, probably was very, very funny. Ian Wright's from Lewisham. He's funny.
He is very funny.
I used to play football with one of Ian Wright's sons.
Well, Sean,
or Bradley.
Yeah, Brett, you're talking about.
Yes!
Yeah. Well, well, well. Look who remembers his roots after all.
He used to be able to do 100 kick-ups when we were like 9.
Wow.
It was incredible.
Yep, yep.
Well, do you know him?
Yeah, well, I know him through the other two because I went to school with them, Sean and Bradley.
That's crazy.
So I mean, Sean, why would you turn your back on this wonderful history of yours?
I did. It was my mum that turned her back on it. It wasn't me.
Sean, so I'm not going to come on a podcast and call your mum a failure. That's not fair, Sean. She had her reasons. I can't imagine what they could possibly be.
Can we just get the years that you were in Lewisham, just to clarify for our listeners, Sean?
I think I was in Lewisham. We left when I was like 11.
Right. Okay. So pretty, yeah, you had a pretty good time there. But your teenage years define you pretty big, right?
When I first moved to Brighton, everyone would take the mickey out of me because I would like talk like this.
Yeah.
This is what I would talk like as a little kid. Genuinely, I'm joking now, man. I used to suck. This is so ridiculous. I used to suck my teeth.
It is not ridiculous, Sean. It may have sounded ridiculous. I didn't get kissing my teeth done until I was in my...
That's my it, teeth kiss my teeth.
I didn't get into kissing my teeth either or sucking my teeth until I was a teenager anyway. And so it took me many years to work it out. So you're right on track.
Do it. Yes! Oh,
that's really good.
I don't think I'm...
Yeah, thank you. That's really, there you go. That's still good.
Did you also do that thing? Good. Did you do that thing, yeah?
That takes a while.
No one in Brighton could do
that. So just
no
for our listeners, that's our flicking our index finger against our other finger.
Well, that's what I'm doing. Dane is masturbating live on this podcast.
But it's so well.
Extremely off-putting.
Well, if you had a problem with it, you would mention it, Sean. That's the idea of this podcast.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming you're fine with the masturbation. That's why you didn't say anything.
Huge fan.
Well, speaking of which, it's probably time for a question, isn't it, Dane, as the format of the show dictates?
I mean, that is as smooth as masturbating without lube, that segue.
Yes.
You are absolutely right, Howard Cohen, who seems to be not familiar with masturbation at all. But Sean Walsh, as our esteemed guest and longtime friend of the podcast, we invite you to ask the first question, any question you would like, which we'd like to discuss for 15 minutes and some change. Then Howard will do the same. Then lather, rinse, repeat. I'd like to ask you a question which we discuss for 15 minutes and some change, give or take. And then we'd like our lovely listeners to know where they can find out about your very good works and what you're doing in the future before you go on to live a very fulfilled, slightly Lewishamless life. Sound like a plan?
This is fantastic. Yeah, thank you for mapping out my life. Cheers.
All these directions, especially if you're from the Blue Borough, Sean, you know that.
Right. So do you want a question?
Please. Yes, please.
Would life, as we know, would life be better or worse without the internet?
For the basis of recording this podcast, definitely worse. But we're going to put that to one side, I think.
Yes.
I mean, you could do cassette tapes, Howard. You could always film this, like, go back to the old school if we really wanted to do it.
This is very convenient. It's very convenient what the internet provides for podcasters. But that's...
Well, this is what it does. It provides convenience, isn't it? That's the thing, because all the sort of pros of the internet are, well, I don't have to talk to anyone when I want a Chinese. Like, that's what you're getting.
Yep.
You're getting maps, which is good. You know, I think it's very handy. If you've got to get somewhere, all you have to do is look at your phone. It will tell you where that is. That's convenient.
Yep.
Correct.
So what you're getting out of it is convenience. But then it's causing lots of other issues.
It is fucking a few things up. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
it's fucking a few things
and
up.
And I would point out that if you said to me the internet and removed social media, I would say, let's keep it. But social media is definitely the big thorny issue with the internet, I'd say. There's other issues as well, like the conglomerates that, like Amazon, that seem to dominate everything. But I think we can probably work some of that out as time passes, maybe. But I don't know how you work out social media. It does seem to be ruining existence in a lot of ways, I would argue.
Which way? What way?
I think that human interaction, like this,
I know
you're on a screen, Sean, but I've met you many years ago in Edinburgh. It's been a long time, but it's very nice to see you. And this is human interaction. You know, it's communication with our brains, not our bodies as such, but you know what I mean? It's if I saw you in person, we'd handshake or whatever. You know, I like human interaction. That's to me
I'm still doing the elbow, but sure, carry on.
But I feel like, you know, there's a lot to be said for, you know, like, I mean, when you see a friend and you talk to them, you know, it's that's a powerful thing, and I just don't think the social media is offering anything to replace that, but it is kind of getting in the way of that, you know.
I think the discussion about the internet as a technological phenomenon is very similar to that of television, or even like firearms, or even fire, in that like they've basically revolutionized aspects of human civilization as fire did. But like, the internet is very similar to fire in that it's a massive boon, but can also be massively destructive to human civilization, in that fire heats your food and keeps your house warm, but also can burn your house down and burn you. And I think with the internet, I don't really think it's so much the internet as a phenomenon, it's the use of which that is the problem. Because you could argue that we now have access to a super information highway, where nowadays, if you're a kid and had to learn something in history, you had to go through history books and find an appendix and then go through various appendices to find out what would be the relevant stuff. Now you can put something in Wikipedia, which isn't necessarily accurate, but gives you an overview of something, then go to the reference sources as well. Then you can go on the internet and find someone's probably done it or explained it to you. Then go onto YouTube and watch an instructional video or a informative video about it. And I think that is an amazing time where if you want to actually do research into something, you can find out from a number of different sources. So when people say that like history is another word for his story, like if you want to get an alternate narrative about a particular historical phenomenon, you can find that on the internet. I think the problem is, though, is that that is what we refer to as knowledge, but what we have is access to information. We have more access to information than we've ever had. Like if you really want to, like before, you might want to, you may know something about the IRA from maybe reading a newspaper. Whereas now, if you want to make a bomb yourself, you can probably go on the internet and find out how to do that.
So what you're saying is it's good for studying, but bad for terrorism.
Well, it depends what you define as terrorism, really. But I think it's good for knowledge, but it's bad for information. Because I think there's an abundance of information, and I don't think we've had enough time to learn how to curate and use that information correctly, which is why we've had this, especially over the last 4 years, you know, we've had the explosion of all these counter narratives and the accusations of fake news and fact checking, and that's kind of skewed the whole thing as well. But I think the information superhighway, as the internet was initially known, it's not a coincidence that as it's allowed for more streamlined and more ready access to information, that pornography became free. I don't think that's a coincidence myself personally. And if I go on the internet, I can find other conspiracy theories that will verify what I think. And I think that's the other part of the internet that's an issue, as you say, with social media. Again, I don't think it's the issue of social media, because technically the social media provides you the opportunity to be more connected than you could ever be. Like the idea of speaking to your friends or relatives in other countries used to be something that would be very difficult to do if you had family in like Australia, say. But now you can have a real time, real life conversation with somebody on a video phone, even if they're in another part of the entire world, which, you know, can really help with loneliness. Unfortunately, because of human beings, we have not, and who we are as people, we're a social species anyway. So even though we can have access to other people at our fingertips, it still doesn't supplement, like you said, the human connection, like you said, Howard. Yeah. And I think that it's given people the power of God, and people weren't supposed to be gods. And that's why social media is fucking people up, because...
Speak for yourself, mate.
So when I say a God, I don't mean the God, because a God is someone that's omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. So that's all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present.
Yes.
I don't think human beings are supposed to be like that. That's why we sleep, for example. So we're not supposed to know everything that's happening all the time, everywhere we go, because to any normal human being with a normal mind, that's going to take some toll on your mind after a while. Like, for example, before the news cycle and stuff, like you might hear about bad stuff in the news, but you'd be able to balance that with some positive things that would take place in your day. Whereas now you have access to like global news, you can find out something shitty that is happening in every square mile of the world all the time. And if you can wake up and pick up your phone and be like, people are dead, that's going to have a long-term effect on you after a while.
Sean, as the asker of this question, what kind of inspired you to pose it?
Well, that's a good question in itself. I think that you find yourself often, or I find myself, perhaps one does find themselves throughout the day looking at their phone and sort of making the noise, oh, God, not just looking at their phone. And I just think that I romanticize this. There's this idea of what life would have been like before the internet, that sort of pace of just being on your, because it's noise. Mm.
Yeah.
It is noise. It's so noisy. It's so cloudy. It's so messy. It's so you can't untangle it. You can't make sense of it. You can't break it down. And that's not peace. And I on Sunday, I turned my phone off the whole of Sunday. I didn't look at it. I turned it off on the night before I went to sleep and woke up and the phone was off. And I had such a peaceful day.
Lovely.
And I just thought, God, life was, you know, you weren't, but there wasn't this noise, this cloud just following you throughout the day. And I think...
Cloud's a good turn of phrase as well.
Yeah, but me...
That's what collective consciousness is referred to as a cloud, isn't it? Because with Apple and how everyone's connected, that's how we kind of refer to ourselves as a cloud. All of our videos and memories and stuff is all stored in a cloud, which is occasionally hacked.
And there's this sort of anxiety. I don't know what if you guys have this, but this sort of... I mean, like, do you ever feel like, you know, when you, have you ever, like, thought you've lost your phone?
Yeah.
The anxiety that shoots through your body, it's like heartbreak. It's like, it's worse than heartbreak. Just think, I've lost my phone, and that anxiety that comes with
people will be drunk and fall down and crack their head open and be like, oh, that's all right. And if it's their phone, they'll be like, my God, I need to go to the hospital. That's how bad they are.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about it is to me, you know, this technology that we all have in our pockets or in our handbags would be totally fine if you thought that the human race was capable of controlling themselves. That's the issue you've got, right? It's about controlling yourself. So, like, put it this way, right? If I said to you now, hey, Sean, Dane, go and look at Facebook, right? Well, if you go and look at it for, like, 5 minutes, right? And I was like, cool, just so you know, that's the only time you're looking at Facebook today. I think that would probably not be that detrimental effect, but it's this kind of like regurgitated kind of habit that it turns into like almost feeling like it does feel like gambling at times, right? Oh, look, I've got someone who's fucking liked something. Great. That means a lot to my existence, doesn't it?
That's because there is a commercial interest in you doing that as well.
Of course.
You have to remember, like, you know, whenever there's any kind of individualism, someone's going to be able to make money from it. So there is, it is very much encouraged for people to continue to use their phones. And also, like, I suppose, like TV works, like the thing that, I mean, social media for in particular has, you know, I think just replaced television in that people would say...
More invasive now. It's more invasive.
Well, it's not more invasive. It's just that there's more regulation exists now. That's all, comparatively. So it's just the only frame of... it's just that we have two frames of reference because it's like people would say that TV was more invasive than radio was or like newspapers were.
Mm.
So... You know, and even television itself really is digital projection anyway. Nowadays, with your TV can be connected to your phone and they can still send you cookies and work out your algorithm and send you adverts if you look at YouTube. So for me, it's like, it's just, there's no regulation with the internet, I suppose. And that's going to be a good thing and a bad thing because the lack of regulation means that, you know, you don't have to subsist on mainstream media resources to find out about your news and stuff. Because there's probably a lot of phenomena that we found out very recently, so far as, you know, things like Mossack Fonseca, also, you know, leaked documents about, you know, hashtag Me Too, you know, a lot of political intrigue. If it wasn't for the internet, you wouldn't find out about these things if you had to subsist on what you saw in mainstream media.
No.
So that availability of information is important. But at the same time, it also means that, you know, having that kind of democracy, I don't think it's not something as human beings we're used to seeing. And we probably understand more now why regulatory bodies and aristocracy exists within our society, because even though the idea that everyone, and that's why, you know, you now hear this mantra about people that buy into social media, I'm entitled to my opinion. Like, that never used to be something that people would say that often, but the democratization of social media allows everyone to feel as if what they have to say is relevant, and not everything everyone has to say is relevant, even though, you know, the idea was, people forget that democracy means mob rule. So if you know, get enough people kind of wound up and kind of riled up, they'll say what or do whatever.
I've been saying that to my wife recently about a few things, and it's definitely not got... She's basically told me, I think you believe in authoritarian rule, because I keep saying that I don't think people need to know about the variants. Like, I don't think, in the way that we've been given so much information about it, I just don't think people just need to be told what to do. It's like off the offside rule. If you look at these lines being drawn on football pitches all the time, it's like, just tell me if it's offside or not. I don't need to see the lines.
Howard, that's the problem, is that the human beings, one of the problems is that it's more of the power we're giving over to social media. So before, with things like offside, we were like, I'm not too sure, not too sure. And now that there's VAR, people are always complaining. But yeah, this is what we asked for. You wanted it to be accurate. You wanted to involve artificial intelligence in your football. So rather than making it a triumph of the human spirit or the slight of the human hand and eye or foot, you made it involving computers. So now that computers are involved, all the fun, all of the risk is removed from it, because we'll just go back to the replay and see exactly what happened. Yeah. So that's changed the game now. People are like, VAR slowing stuff down. That's what the fuck you asked for. And yeah, I think this is the problem, is that the issue about the internet, not so much the internet, it's more about the fact that whenever human beings give over their power of their ability to think critically, they give it over to artificial intelligence, then it can make you very lazy. And part of that being lazy is not having the laziness of not seeing what the humanitarian impact is if you troll somebody on the internet, or if you make a comment about somebody that can be damaging to their self-esteem or their psyche. With the internet, you're not forced to confront that directly. Whereas if you have to look at that person in the face and repeat the same thing without the gift of anonymity, you'd be less likely to say the same kind of thing, which is why people who tend to say the most vitriolic things on social media are either shut-ins who never go anywhere else or don't go out in public, or they're people that have anonymous accounts, or they use like pseudonyms in order for them to say what they want to say. The problem is with that, is that at the end of the day, I said this before in an Edinburgh show. Where I said Reasonable Doubts. When artificial intelligence wants to take over, because that's the new race, they're very different to us. So human beings, you'll notice how we've moved our consciousness, is that we are trying to imagine ourselves along the same lines as artificial intelligence. That's why people keep talking about all of the things that make them different. Like, I'm this sexual orientation, I live here, I will use these pronouns, because that's how binary code works as well. It's very, very rigid. Whereas most human beings can't really quantify their humanity into like four lines of, these are my pronouns, this is where I live, this is my political disposition. Most of us are a bit more fluid in that respect. Mm. But now that we're trying to contextualize our lives along artificial intelligence, you're seeing human beings become a lot more rigid. And what we don't understand is that,
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We use social media to create a false image of ourselves. But what we're doing at the same time is that we are telling the truth to all of artificial intelligence. So, you know, when we watch films like The Terminator about Skynet taking over the planet, yeah, the Matrix and stuff, they don't need to use any agents or any weapons, because you tell the internet all your secrets. How? What do you type into Google or DuckDuckGo, or what people type into Ask Jeeves? So we might lie to our friends about what we're into, but what we really want, because we tell the computer what we want, they already know. So, I mean, the only issue...
Well, I usually just want a chicken madras with peanut rice, to be honest with you.
I don't believe you, Sean. I think he may have browsed Balti here and there, or a Rogan Josh, yes, or maybe even looked at a Lambuna. So don't come here with that shit, Walt.
You've got me.
Yeah.
You've got me.
Probably got more poppadoms than you needed that day too, Sean.
I did.
Yeah, you see?
I do love a poppadom.
There you go. Great, aren't they? That's the truth. Be who you are. And I think...
The phone, I can't lie. The phone knows I love a poppadom.
The phone knows you love a poppadom, Sean.
Speaking of poppadoms, watch this segue. No, but that was a great question. My question is food related, so that's why I'm jumping in we love that question, Dane, right? We should have that question again. I could talk about that question forever. Brilliant question.
Can I just say, before you move on, I think we should scrap the internet and all just carry around a map and make sure we meet our friends on time.
Perfect.
That's it.
Do you know what, Sean? You can run for government or that.
I think somebody had that idea, Sean, and someone was like, this is taking ages. But even then, it's like, we talk about our friends. We don't have that many friends. The internet has fooled us into thinking that we have this many connections to most human beings. And most human beings don't have that many friends.
Yeah,
like, people got like 5,000 friends on like Facebook. No one's got 5,000 friends in real life. Nobody can remember 5,000 people's names without social media. Nobody can do that. So, you know, a lot of some people are dead and their social media profile remains. I think we're just going to have to learn in like this evolution. And some of us are going to learn to coexist with the internet and some of us aren't going to do so well. If you are somebody that has an avatar with a picture of the Crusaders, the odds are you aren't going to survive.
Yep. Well, sound advice. Sound advice to those people. My question is going to be about food, childhood food problems. I've got this baby, Sean. He lives here now.
Is it yours?
Yeah, he's made him with my wife. And
always have.
he eats food now. As Dane mentioned, he saw a video the other day that I posted of him eating. He's eating a lot of food. But obviously, sometimes he just like looks at something and just goes, well, this is shit. And I don't want this. And just throws it away, which gets quite infuriating. And it kind of interesting because it reminded me of my own issues with food, right? And I wanted to ask you both, what food did your childhood fuck up for you? Because I've got two specific foods that I cannot eat. And it's really embarrassing now because the child needs to eat healthy, right? I can't go near cucumber. It freaks, honestly, something happened in my child. I don't know what, but I cannot.
Given you're much of a cucumber, both Sean and I, there's a premise that we're way too classy to touch. Am I right, Sean?
Yes. Yeah.
I can guarantee you it was purely an edible problem. promise that I just hated the taste of it as a kid, and I've never been able to eat cucumber.
Can you eat anal beads though, right?
I don't think you need to worry about the cucumber. I think you're going to be okay. You're not missing much.
Hey,
I feel embarrassed in front of my kid. I feel embarrassed in front of my kid that, you know, there'll be a salad and I'm jumping around the cucumber. Does anyone want my cucumber? I'm that guy.
Okay,
Howard, I don't think anybody's in therapy being like, I wish my father would, you know, be open to new things. Yeah. My sexuality.
I'm not talking cucumber, first world
cucumber
problems.
And a salad. He could never be open to things, and all he would do is eat fucking courgettes.
Also, I'd be very wary of being in a restaurant and shouting, "Does anyone want my cucumber?"
I'm not on my own, I'm usually with people who like me, and I say to them, "Do you want my cucumber?" I don't really like cucumber.
Okay, I mean, I can't imagine there's too many people taking you up on that. Yes, I'll have the cucumber.
My wife will have it. My wife will sometimes have a bit of extra cucumber.
Okay.
I like that.
Good to know.
It sounds like your
good to know, Howard.
Yeah, you're writing that down, Sean.
Yes.
Make notes, Sean. I think that Howard's wife just really likes cucumber and then basically just like makes it and then goes, are you going to have that? Ah, oh, fine, I'll take it then. It's like, you know, when men buy like presents for their wives, but it's like not really for their wives. When she's like, oh, right. A snooker table you shouldn't have. I'll take it, love. Don't worry. No, don't worry then.
Yes.
So my issue's cucumber from my childhood. Sean, Dane, have you got any food issues from your childhood?
I have several. Pretty much anything that...
No. Food issues, Dane. Food issues.
Yeah, I mean, that's the springboard into the real issues, Sean. So, you know.
Yes.
All starts in the stomach, mate. Gut instinct, if you will.
Yes.
My first one would have been with red meat because I grew up during the BSE, the first mad cow disease scare. And the meat that was being served in my primary school was dubious at best. So I was like, oh, I don't know about this. You guys aren't particularly known for your cooking. And I remember being sent to see the said master, and my sister and her friend was there as well, because they also decided to go on a red meat strike. And
nice.
That was so red meat. Depending on where it's from.
Did you actually go on a red meat strike?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's brilliant.
It wasn't hard. My mum doesn't really make that much, other than spaghetti bolognese. My mum doesn't really use the bread meat that much anyway, so it wasn't really that difficult. It just meant, you know, I'll have a chicken burger.
You were ahead of your time, though, Dane. You were ahead of your time. Like, people
don't understand. Like, nowadays, you know, people, you know, they said mad cow disease, and then no one was like, well, no one really got mad cow disease, and blah, blah. And then the human form is CJD, right? Now, this was the 80s. Now, how many people years later are dealing with issues of dementia or Alzheimer's and stuff that were never issues before? Because all of that E. coli or the bacteria has traveled up the vertebrae to their brain and now depositing there. And that's why they think one of the reasons why people are having such mental health, degenerative disorders.
Oh, really?
In life, yeah.
Wow.
Good times. That's fantastic. That's what you need on top of COVID.
I said,
what a fantastic time to be alive.
Sean, you looked at this question as though you don't have any food issues from your childhood.
Do you know what? I don't have any food issues from my childhood, but I was brought up in a very working class environment, which meant that my dinner was fish fingers, chips and beans, sausages, nice. Chips and beans, bacon, ooh, chips and beans, chicken dinosaurs, chips and beans, and sometimes chips and beans.
and you ate everything you were given, basically.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem, but we were just that. I mean, that was it. The microwave was on full spin constantly. Yeah. Everything was microwaved. But yeah, so there are no issues. I had so many microchips. So many microchips. I can't believe that I've not been killed off yet.
Have you had a Rustlers? Do you like a Rustlers as well, those?
No, luckily, man, no.
No, Sean, no. I'm sorry. You're making too much money to be eating Rustlers.
I'm really sorry, Sean, for saying that, Sean. I'm really sorry, mate. That's,
honestly.
I'm apologising. Sean.
One of Howard's questions on this podcast has been, why is it so hard to find good help these days? My cleaner is so...
Oh, my God.
Do you know what, Dane? I did actually get a new cleaner and she's amazing. Chris, we love you.
Even when he's like, well, cucumber for me. I mean, it just pollutes the Voss water. It makes my Evian unpalatable, Sean. Unpalatable.
There you go. Another reason I hate cucumbers. They keep putting in fucking water and I'm like, I don't want your cucumber water. There you go.
Yes. My mum cooked whenever on occasion, my mum would cook a steak, but very, 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 very well done.
Yeah.
And you're
getting that kind of steak meat.
So I didn't know until sort of my own adult life that's not really how you're meant to have steak. Well, yeah. I was just having like it was like grey slabs of concrete.
Yeah. Oh, like plain, like plain meat.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
In-flight meat. Yeah. Okay. Well, my other one is mashed potatoes for a very long time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes. But because it's all the primary school used to ruin them. So they bring out all the food in like a big aluminium tray, like you're in the army or in prison.
Oh, yes.
And then it's like the mashed potato was almost like a potato plasticine. And then they would use an ice cream scoop to take it out. And I'd just be like,
oh, lovely.
Yes.
And it wasn't like when you look at like pictures of like serving suggestions of mashed potato where there's like always that knob of butter that's slowly melting down the side and maybe a few chives, just straight white mash. And with an ice cream scoop, and I'd just be like, ugh! And then also cauliflower cheese. I think that was because I found out later in life that I'm lactose intolerant. And then you think, you know.
Are you?
Yeah. So there's some cheeses I can get through, like, you know, nacho cheese, macaroni cheese, pizza cheese. These were all adequate cheeses. But when you get through the cheese, which is quite always a chore for me to get through, once you get through the cheese of cauliflower cheese, all you're left is with cauliflower. And there's no fucking reward there. It's like I'm being punished for persevering through the cheese. It's like, you know, I don't know. Imagine you tucked into a lasagna and there was cauliflower in a fucking lasagna, is my point. That cauliflower is way bottom rung when it comes to vegetables. It's kind of like an albino broccoli when you think about it.
It is, but, you know, if you give it a bit of a roast with turmeric, sumac, I mean, we don't
stop you there, Howard. You're going to get to the point where you're going to try and liken roasted cauliflower to vegan fried chicken. And I'm going to let it fucking happen, Howard. No. No.
Dane, I wouldn't go that far, mate. You know me well enough. I wouldn't go that far, but I will tell you, the next time you come around my house, I'm going to make you some cauliflower and you're going to enjoy it.
It's the one argument I've had with great friend of the podcast, Catherine Ryan. She's like, if you roast some cauliflower, it's like chicken wings. No, it fucking isn't, Catherine Ryan.
Yeah, that's... That's crazy talk. That's crazy talk. But cauliflower next to a nice chicken thigh with some corn on the cob.
Because I know I love Catherine Ryan like a sister, but my theory is because she used to work at Hooters and then they were like, try these. Cauliflowers, they're just like chicken wings. And a guy at Hooters is obviously going to go, oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, that sounds like chicken wings. Yeah, 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 whatever you say. Whatever you say, darling. So I think that everyone's been lied to there. Also, stewed tomatoes.
It is like that at Hooters. I can confirm
that. Exactly.
That's exactly
what it's literally like. Be like, here's a piece of a wax from my ear and a guy be like, yeah, it's like, just like chicken. The point, yeah. Also, plum tomatoes are disgusting. But they were also served in the same aluminium trays that the cauliflower cheese are served in. Not at the same time, but it's like just a big stew of plum tomatoes that were just like, is this mushy?
Yeah.
And
So if you came over to my house for dinner, Sean, I'm not making this a definite invite, but it could be depending on the rest of this show.
Where do you live?
I live just outside London in Nebworth.
Forget it. I'm never coming.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Yeah. Cool. That's fine. if I managed to convince you,
if you move to West London, I'll consider it. But carry on.
But let's just say you're passing through Hertfordshire. You think, oh, well, maybe I'm hungry. Anyway, whatever. I'm not desperate for this to happen. But if it did, if it did, there's nothing I could make you that you wouldn't like. Is that what you're saying?
Oh no! But for some reason, since adulthood, I've discovered I hate crab. There you go.
Even soft shell crab.
Brilliant.
Lobster, crab, I can't.
Oh, shellfish. No, I get that. I can't have clams and mussels, so I get that.
I love mussels, love clams. Just one day,
prawns.
Prawns can handle prawns, but crab. I mistakenly in a fantastic restaurant. It's an Italian restaurant. And I saw the word lasagna. Love lasagna. Nice. Let's go. I love a lasagna. It was a crab lasagna.
Mm. Okay.
And That was a problem.
Cheese and bechamel sauce and crab meat. That's really rich. Oh, yes. Man, you must have been in the toilet for 2 days straight after that.
Always.
Yeah. But not in a regular way. It's like one time I went to a steakhouse and then I went to an ice cream parlor and that took me about 48 hours to shift that lactose and red meat. So
lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely images.
Thank you.
I've got a friend who's terrified of crabs. Like genuinely, if you put a crab in his face, he just can't even look at them.
Why?
Because he thinks
that's normal. What are you talking about? You're not meant to put a crab in someone's face.
Thank you, Sean.
Why do you even know that that's his reaction? Where have you been with
him?
Breaking into the sea life centre at midnight.
If we're on the beach, right? If I was on the beach with this guy and the crab went past, he'd be absolutely horrified.
Yes, because he's
horrified.
Sane. Yes, because he's normal.
What?
Yes.
What's so bad about crabs?
What are you talking about? They can pinch you with their claws.
They don't even have a skeleton, Howard.
I've got a cat in here and it can scratch me. It's fine. You know, you live with these dangers to enjoy the animal kingdom.
Wow. It's like being on a Zoom call with...
Is that the guy?
Jacques
Cousteau.
I meant to say Dr. Doolittle, but let's just move on.
I don't think he even listens to them. Just eating them.
Yeah.
I like crab. Crab is good.
Yeah. Having defended crabs a little bit, I actually don't really like fish. That's the other thing. Cucumber and most fish.
You mean you don't like eating fish?
I just find it the bones. So much work with the bones.
You see what I'm saying, Sean? Yes. Is that Howard talking or is there a very manipulative cat talking behind him? Because he was like, me and my cat, Animal Kingdom, Dr. Doolittle. And he's like, oh yeah, I don't like fish or cucumber. Those are two things. Cats love fish, but they also hate cucumber
cats
as well.
Don't love cucumber.
They hate cucumber. They hate cucumbers. They think they're snakes, but they love fish. So is Howard being forced to keep his house cucumber free and full of fish? Is the question there. It's a lot of feline manipulation, it sounds like. I mean, I don't know.
The cat's not got that much power.
I also don't like goji. I also don't like goji berries.
I don't even know what goji berries are.
So goji berries can only normally be found at those freeze-dried places like Cranberry that you get in like train stations. You know where women buy snacks when they pretend that they're the same as pick and mix, but they're just shit. Like, some dried apricot and yogurt-covered raisins and various types of cashew nuts.
Holland and Barrett.
People are like, these are the snacks I'll have at my desk. And you're like, what the fuck? And basically, goji berries are like Imagine if someone took a grape and then took, you know, a seedless grape and then took it out of his skin and then was like, we'll keep the skin and just leave the fruit. And that's what a goji berry is.
Oh, I do know them. I love them.
You don't love them.
They're lovely. Well, I've enjoyed this culinary dive into our problems or lack of problems that Sean Walsh has. And it's over to you for the final question of the show, Dane.
Indeed. Cool. So, my first time I was ever on TV was on your show, Sean. Sean Walsh's Comedy Spectacular back in 2012, I think. Do you remember that?
I remember it well, actually.
I do remember what it is. And I remember you had a great gig and you moonwalked off stage.
Oh, my God.
Do you still do the moonwalk, Dane?
No. God. thank you, Sean.
Amazing.
Thank you for coming to my podcast. I'm humbled and flattered by your patience. Oh, my God.
But you had a great one.
Who had a gig that first time? Yeah, but they probably, yeah.
The only person should be Michael Jackson and no one else.
But, he was already dead, Sean. What was I supposed to do?
Okay.
And I bought tickets to that show and I never got to see him. So that's probably why that I did it.
Oh, really?
And it might have, hopefully it was pertinent to the material, but I moonwalk a lot less now. But basically, I remember that being almost a kind of like, you know, I suppose you get your first bite from the showbiz bug and... I guess you start making plans for where you see your profile reaching in the industry. However, I personally feel like when you're a comedian in particular, there's two routes you can go. I suppose you can go the route of becoming like a regular celebrity, household name, OK Magazine, Sunday Mirror Magazine, all that other stuff. Or I suppose there's more of a more artistic route where I probably you reach your profile more strictly from doing comedy and comedy-based formats and the like. And one can make you big in your genre, or one can make you, I guess, big. And my question is, what would you prefer, Sean, to be a big household name or one of the biggest names in the country or one of the biggest comedians in the country, with pros and cons?
I don't think there would be any cons to be. Well, I suppose you have to put... I'm going to come back at you, I'm afraid, because you have to give it some context, because there would be no cons, surely, to being one of the biggest comedians in the country, but there would be obvious cons to being, I suppose, one of the biggest celebrities in the country.
Well, yeah, which is a good point. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that it's really just a question to find out what you would... maybe a better way to rephrase the question is... Is there a level of fame and notoriety that you would be happy with where you're like, I don't need to be any more famous than this? Like, I'm big in comedy and relatively known in the world. That's fine. Or would you want to be like, everyone needs to know who the fuck I am? Like, you know.
I think you have to be so careful about what you say about yourself when talking about yourself. I mean, I can't be the only one that says something and then 10 minutes later thinks, what was I talking about? That's not what I mean at all. I sound like an idiot.
Sure, no way. Yeah. Once at a gig, I moonwalked off the stage like a dick.
I know, yes, exactly.
You can relate. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
You know, I've had a very strange career. It's not been conventional in any way. The way it sort of not ended up, but... You know, I went on Strictly Come Dancing, and you could argue was infamous for a short period of time. So, you know, I've seen what it's like to be. I've lived through the sort of dark side of that, where you're the villain, and you feel the wrath of the British public. I can tell you now, that's not an enjoyable experience. So
was there any of that physical, if you don't mind me asking? I hope it wasn't.
No, of course, in a sense it does, because you have the mental difficulties that brings.
Yeah,
you know,
of course, I mean, like, you know,
they translate as physical.
But the British public are they're a lot like when I think when Phil Mitchell like hit Sharon like. Ross Kemp got like hate mail and stuff that I sent to his house, kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? So people take it real serious sometimes.
So, I mean, I just don't. I, obviously, I'm just not a fan of being in the newspapers for really any reason. So I, but I suppose I don't know what it's like to be in the news and for it to be a good thing. So I don't know what that's like. I'm sure it's very nice. So, for me, I would certainly, if I could cash in my chips now and go, oh yeah, I'll just be a really popular comic. That sounds great to me. I mean, I love being on set. I like acting and whatnot. But straight off the top of my head, I don't know. There must be something in my character. I think that allowed.
Was like we all know kind of like Daniel Kitson versus like maybe where Joel Dommett is now. Is there, if you look at those two archetypes, is there maybe a preferred?
Oh,
you'd prefer to be.
Oh, you would surely. I'd like to see bank statements first. But if Kitson can live comfortably, I think that there would be no question for me then.
Which is interesting because you obviously, you know, spent a lot of time, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, doing a lot of very public facing, you know, like a lot of TV, you know, it has its negative elements. Obviously, the Strictly thing had a big negative element.
Yes, it did. I was not very young, but I was in my 20s and it, you're just going with it. You don't really get a chance to take. And you've got to understand as well, it sort of relates to Dane's question. I was in my 20s. Things were put in front of me, jobs and shows, and go and do these shows and whatnot. You don't really know why you're doing anything. You're just doing it. And you're not doing it necessarily because that's what you'd want to do. You know, I love doing any stand-up on television, but there were things that I did that just weren't playing to my strengths, you know. I was full of so much, and I'm not saying this because I want to. I have to make this very clear. I'm not using this word because I want sympathy or I want to be in a story. But most in my 20s, I was not ready for what I was doing. I was a nervous wreck. I wasn't enjoying most of that. I wasn't enjoying. I was just terrified, and I never felt like I should be there.
Well, and also that, you know, as Dane will testify, as I would testify, your live work is superb and has always been superb, and that kind of, I suppose that's one of the things, isn't it? That was the driving force originally, wasn't it?
But what a wonderful thing, Dane, that we get to do. And you know, I try and you know, I've had to do a lot of thinking over the last few years, as we have all been given the opportunity because of the pandemic. But I've had some other issues. And you know, how I like to keep it is I go on and I try and do my best for those people in that room, and I leave.
Yeah.
And what can happen on television is people can make judgments about you because of what they've read or the other thing they saw you on.
Yeah, yeah.
Or based
on the edit you didn't have control of, to be honest.
Yeah, all of that stuff. And by the way, I need to be clear as well. I'm taking responsibility. I was not good on a lot of what I did. I think I was really good at some things. I think I was okay at some and crap at others. I'm not blaming producers and all that stuff.
But it's also that thing of marrying. This is the hardest thing as well, just talking from a producer perspective, right, is that marrying the thing that goes on stage with performers and marrying that on screen. I mean, like, for example, like, Virtually Famous ran a few series.
Yeah, right? it did, popular
show. And I remember watching you on that show one week and being like, God, this guy smashed it. This is, you know, you were really great at a particular episode I watched. And then I remember watching you live a little while after and being like, this is a completely different guy, you know. And that's kind of one of the weird things that makes, I think, telly a complicated conduit for putting people who are talented in one arena onto another.
It's motion picture, and you know, a picture can say 1,000 words, but like 999 of those can be lies. Then I guess what I'm trying to get as well, Sean, because obviously I think there's a lot of people in our position that would maybe look at your position and see it as being quite enviable. And I think a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't realize necessarily that It's not as straightforward as that. Oh, you're funny, and what you get to do, and you, so therefore I get to be funny on TV. Like I said, there are so many other stakeholders involved in when Sean Walsh transcends from being a performing artist to a brand that you're not necessarily in control of. So that's why I was going to ask people, because I think a lot of people think that the apex of any comedian or any performing artist is being, you know, in a position whereby you're on the front cover of magazines and on billboards and
I don't live like that anymore. I really don't live like that anymore.
Yeah.
I try and have a good day.
Yeah.
I work hard
and
I try and have a good day, and I don't think about what's to come. I can't control it. As long as I'm working hard and trying to enjoy my, that is literally how I live my life. I try and have a nice day today. I don't think about.
And not focusing on the next aspirations or, you know, having.
No, I don't care. There are none. Good. There are none.
Oh, good.
There are none. Have I got a show tonight?
Yeah.
That's the show. I'll do my best. I might be tired. I might not. But what? I'll do my best at that show. I live my life. I try and have a nice day.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I believe you.
I like it.
Well, whatever happens will happen.
Yeah, I think that's a way to carry yourself, not just within comedy as an art, but just in general.
I do.
Because I think I've spoken to Howard about a lot of the time as well, and, you know, about the existential crisis of being like, I should be getting to here, but by the time I'm this age, or I want to do this with my career, and, like, you know, Sean's doing this, and should I be doing this, and put myself in a position whereby...
No, nonsense.
Yeah,
and I think it's a terrible... I was so unhappy in my 20s.
Mm.
Like, I had a good time, I also had a great time, you know. Life isn't as simple as it sort of is made out to be when you're reading about it in articles and posts and tweets. I also had a lot of fun, but I wasn't happy with, like, myself, what I was doing. It wasn't what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a comic actor. I saw myself as a stand-up comedian and a comic actor. That's what I saw myself as. And I was just so unhappy that that's not what I was doing. And I didn't realize that actually what I was doing at the time was a wonderful experience. What could have been, mm-hmm. and partly was, a wonderful experience to have had. I dreamed of being a comic. I got to go and do it, and I got to do it on telly. I should have just been enjoying every step of that, mm-hmm. and it's unfortunate I didn't, but that's pretty much life for most people. I'm not making that mistake again.
Yeah.
That might be show business, but I'm not making that mistake again.
Yeah.
I'm trying to enjoy my day.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying that.
No, I definitely believe you today.
And I'll try and enjoy tomorrow when I wake up, and that's it. I feel confident that I'll be doing things that I want to. I am doing things I want to do.
Yeah,
I think that goal mentality,
mm-hmm.
that is drilled into us.
Yeah.
I don't know where it comes from. Yeah. The sort of self-help.
The fucking internet, mentality. Sean. The social media. You compare your life to everyone else's. That's where it comes from.
No, but I don't even mean the comparing. I mean when it's sort of tried to be. There's an attempt to drill it into you in a positive way. You know, what are your goals? Go and get them. I just think that's that mentality made me very happy.
Exactly as Howard said, it's like comedy. I didn't know that before I started doing stand-up, I didn't know people had comedy competitions. Like, I didn't know you could really compare your comedy to somebody else's and be like, well, this is what they like. I'm like, but this might not be... If this joke is about somebody, then how are they going to find it funny anyway? So how's that going to work? So, yeah, it's always been quite a weird one.
But it's also that thing of just when you're, you know, when you're growing up, I see, like, how you want to motivate children to, like, do their homework, or, you know, you kind of, there's things that you need to get into. But when we become adults, we kind of don't recalibrate. We need to kind of rethink what the purpose is. Because I definitely think in lockdown, I've spoken about this a few times, like, I really quite enjoy my life now.
Oh, it's totally. It was lovely. Yeah. Absolutely wonderful. I was in heaven. I want to go back into lockdown.
Well, you can keep some of that life going. I think, you know, I don't think I'm ever going to work 5 days in an office again if I can avoid it. It seems mental. Also, I spent loads of time wasting my time talking bollocks to people in that office, never actually doing my job. So I definitely feel like I've got a better reason to do it. But it is an unhealthy obsession with... what's the next step, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what's the progress? And you both of you guys have achieved brilliant things in what you've done with comedy, and people can come and see you and enjoy you doing what you do. That's the bottom line of it all, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, put it this way. Put it this way. If you were footballers and you'd retired, then you'll always feel like you wish you were still playing football.
That is true.
And comedians are fortunate to not have the same lifespan in terms of performing as footballers.
We're supposed to work the other way around, in that we're supposed to get more opportunities and get better as we get older. But I don't know. We'll see how it goes now.
Yeah. Well, it's been a very good episode, this one, Dane. We've been all over the place. Internet, food, future life plans or not. It's been all over the place.
Kits and all jolt of it.
Kits and all jolt.
They've got the big question. I think comedians should have to apply to be comedians now, and they queue up and they get to the front. Kitson or Dummit, right that way. Kitson or Dummit, right that way.
Now, you know what? It probably worked. When you first started doing comedy, everyone was like, oh my God, Stuart Lee. I hate Michael McIntyre. So I used to just be like, that's some nice white guys. What's going on? And everyone's like, nah, I'm Michael McIntyre. And I used to be like, okay, they seem like nice guys. I mean, neither of them featured really in my upbringing until I kind of got more into comedy, apart from Fist of Fun. So, but I think for a lot of people always, I guess it's always about their fame or success and or validation and how that comes about. But yeah, it's at the end of the day, I think you're right, Sean, that your humanity is always going to be the most important thing. So, get me. I'm with it. So, that being said, where can people catch you doing what you actually love, Sean, in the way you love doing it?
You can come and watch me sleep in my bedroom live. stand-up comedy. I just Google Sean Walsh tickets. And then I've got a podcast with the wonderful Paul McCaffrey. It's 15 minutes. It's called What's Upset You Now? And me and McCaffrey moan. Yeah.
Love a moan.
Oh, I like that.
All's good, well, peoples.
Listeners, check it out and check out Sean's new tour for sure.
Absolutely. Thanks for being on. I like the new hair, and never forget your
Lucian
roots. Never forget your Lucian roots, because I won't. Under the condition that you do not bring on that moonwalk again.
Deal.
Deal.
You've been listening to Dane Baptiste Questions Everything, hosted by Dane Baptiste. For more from Dane, go to danebaptiste.co.uk or follow him on Twitter at DaneBapTweets or Instagram at DaneSnapTeast. Our guest was Sean Walsh. You can follow Sean on Twitter and Instagram at Sean Walsh. The show is produced by me, Howard Cohen. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at the Howard Cohen. The show is mixed and mastered by Audio Culture. You can follow Audio Culture on Instagram at @WeAreAudioCulture. Please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to us. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at @DBQEPodcast. Thanks to Polly, Gelly and the Acast team for all their support. Thanks for listening, guys. And remember, question everything.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.